tearing down one another. Look what he says. He goes on to talk about, we talked about the ship. And he talked about how just a tiny spark, when we use these words, our words negative, it can set a great forest on fire. And he says that tongue is like a flame of fire. It destroys. Because that's what fire does. It destroys. So we need to be careful with what we say. How we say it. And most of all, we need God's word to be in us. Since he says, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaketh. So we need to hide his word in our hearts. And when evil arises or evil wants to present itself, we can speak a word from the Lord to be encouraging. He says it'll corrupt the whole body. We're thinking that I'm hurting somebody else by the words I say. But the Bible says I'm corrupting my whole body. And the ditch that I'm digging for somebody else, we end up falling into that. I've seen people that have said ugly things about somebody else who was sick. And guess what happened? Yeah, you saw the same thing come up on them. So we have to be careful with the words that we say about other people. Because you're trying to destroy that person, but you'll fall in the ditch. Or I'll fall in the ditch. It says, it can set your whole life on fire, for it's set on fire by hell itself. So the Bible is saying to you and I that when we spew out hateful and bitter words, those words don't come from God. Those words come from the pits of hell. And as Christian wise people, we ought to send them back to the pits of hell. Say, that's not God. It's not like God. That's not God's way. And it says, look, people can tame all kind of animals, and we have seen that, wild animals. Yeah.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, Sunday school, 9:30 a.m., worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Come on, give the Lord some praise this morning. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Do you know his name? Can you call his name this morning? Jesus. Come on, don't be ashamed to call him Jesus. Early in the morning, can you just lift him up and say Jesus? Come on, y'all not acting like you know him. Jesus. Call on his name this morning. That's power in his name. Healing in his name. Deliverance. Salvation. In his name. That's joy in his name. But you've got to know him this morning. Glory to God. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Oh, bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you today for this blessed privilege, not only to be in this house, God, but for you to be in our hearts, moving and ministering by the Holy Ghost. And we say thank you for that. Now, Lord, we pray as we enter into your word, let the perfect teaching, preaching, ministry of the Holy Ghost guide us and lead us and illuminate this word, that each and every one of us who hear in this sanctuary or by cassette or by radio will be moved by his teaching ministry to move us to higher levels of understanding and then empower us to practice these principles that we might receive the profit and give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Get your Bibles, open them up to the book of St. John, chapter 16. St. John, chapter 16. Jesus is preparing the disciples for his departure, and he's trying to get them to transition from the flesh to the spirit. And he's also ushering in the coming of the Holy Ghost so that they may depend on the Holy Ghost as their other comforter. And he's dealing with some things and telling them how things are going to be. But I want to pick up at verse 7 in the 16th chapter of St. John, where it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me again, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about the necessity of the Holy Ghost in believers' lives. The necessity of the Holy Ghost in believers' lives. I think Jesus, as he's introducing the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and he speaks of him in this context as a comforter and as a teacher, and yet this is the beginning of the many faceted arenas and areas of the Holy Ghost, the many different hats that the Holy Ghost wears in the lives of the believer and for the cause of the kingdom. And so Jesus is expressing many things because it's important for us to understand that he starts the chapter off by giving them a preview of what shall happen to them as the world becomes acquainted with this Christ and his kingdom. Bible says, "These things have I spoken," verse 1, "unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Now, he's talking about religious people. He's talking about people who have a religion but not a relationship. He's talking about people who are
are more or less conforming to ritualistic worships and behaviors and modes of operations. He's talking about people who function and who are formatted to go according to a program rather than the flow of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about people who know not God nor the Son, neither do they have any access to the Holy Ghost. And so it is really dead religion being performed in a place and in a state of mind where they think it's godly. Now listen at this, because what he's talking about, he himself is going to experience and he himself is going to overcome, and he's going to declare that because he's an overcomer, the believer also shall become an overcomer. But he's explaining to them some things that will happen so that when they happen, they will be able to remember the Lord said this was going to happen. So they will not be offended because of him, but rather that they would understand that because of the position they now take as believers, they will be suffering persecution, they will be suffering wrongdoings, and they will be suffering unrighteousness because of the righteous one. Now, I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, you don't really suffer when you don't lift Christ up. You don't really go through much in this world system when you don't lift up the one who is the Savior of this world, because Satan himself does not want Jesus magnified and elevated. He does not want Jesus enlarged. And so therefore, what he does is he attacks the lifter. Because if he can attack the lifter, then Jesus cannot draw. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up," well, who's going to lift him up? We're talking about the believer who lifts him up. He was lifted on the cross so that he would be elevated. And again, all of the symbolisms of the Old Testament with the snake being lifted up on the stick, so forth, representing the healing that came with those who looked after they had sinned and messed up, fallen short. Jesus said the same way, "I must be lifted up." But Jesus declares that he becomes in this lifted and elevated state as a Savior. The Lamb was slain from the beginning of the world for mankind, and the devil knows if hurting men, if men who are messed up, if men who are torn apart, if men who are looking for a Savior ever sees this man lifted up, they will see hope, they will see help, they will see the salvation that their heart and their soul longs for. So the devil doesn't want him lifted up. So if he can keep him lowered or on a lower level where he does not rise above the masses and or rise above the mess and rise above the troubles and rise above the tribulations and rise above all of the things that man suffers from and with, then man does not have hope. And that's the devil's desire, to keep Jesus from being lifted up. Matter of fact, he worked with his own men. Matter of fact, when he was telling them, after he asked them, "Who did men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they all replied with different answers. And then Peter, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus immediately says, "Peter, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And a few verses later, he tells them, "I've got to die. I've got to be lifted up. I've got to do this." And he says, "Be it far from you." Satan got in him right after the Holy Ghost had used him. Jesus turns around, says to the devil, "Satan, get thee behind," not Peter, "get thee," but "Satan, get thee behind me," because Satan knew if I could keep him from being lifted up, I'll keep him from saving souls and lost men, and they would not see the light and the hope of the world. And Jesus knows that he's going to have to suffer these things, but so will the saints. And so he gives them a pre-warning of what is to come so that they will not have any disillusions about who they are and whose they are and what they must suffer for the cause of Christ. But verse 4, "These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them, and that these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Now Jesus said, "Now listen, y'all are sorry, but y'all are sorry for the wrong reason. Now, nobody is asking me. I'm telling you, I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm packing my bags, about to get out of here. Nobody ain't sorry because I'm leaving. Y'all are sorry because y'all going to have to go through a little trouble now. See, long as y'all were on my side and I took care of every situation, you didn't have to pray, ask nothing of God on my. I talked and took up and spoke in behalf of you, handled every situation. But you're going to have to go through something now. And you got sorry for, not because I'm leaving you, because you're going to have to stand up on your own two feet now. You're going to have to be what I've called you to be now. Now notice what he says, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now remember this now. Those of us, let us progress and move forward into the story. And you know this, Jesus died. He stayed in the grave for 3 days. He rose that resurrection Sunday morning. And when he walked around earth 40 more days, he then took a cloud and went back to heaven. Now he was in heaven, listen, 10 days before the Holy Ghost was sent back down on earth. 10 days he was in heaven. Now the Holy Ghost came on the 50th day after his resurrection. 40 days he stayed down here getting business straight with men, identifying that he was the resurrected Christ, showing non-believers and showing those who were part of the fellowship that he had been risen, just raised as he had said, and as a risen Savior, he was now demonstrating the resurrection in full effect.
Yes, sir.
40 days he's going around proving this, and then he gets a cloud and he goes back home. But I submit to you that 10 days he's having fellowship with the Father and the Holy Ghost and telling him, briefing him about what he's got to deal with, handle, and take care of before he go. And then on that 10th day the Holy Ghost comes down, and the 120, well, y'all to read all that in the book of Acts, but he sent him back in his stead, fully capable of doing everything that Jesus said he would do, being everything to the believer that the believer had Jesus in the earth realm to be and more, because the Holy Ghost would be able to be in every place at every time, helping every believer at one time. Where Jesus was limited to the flesh, and he could only do what the flesh would allow him, because he worked within the confines of his own laws.
Yeah.
Now listen at this. He says, verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And verse 9 says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Now do you realize that it is literally sin, and sin is introduced here in a different format and in a different presentation than sin as we know sin. He's not talking about the morality of man and the committed sins and these kinds of things. He takes sin to a whole nother level. He wants you to understand that the truest form of sin is not believing in the Lord. Because if you don't believe in the Lord, then you certainly have been hoodwinked by the devil, and you are under the control of the devil and under the influence of the devil. If you do not believe in the Lord, then that is the beginning of your sin, and the devil then has the ability to pull you in one direction, in another direction, cause you to do what he wants you to do. Because if you don't believe in the Lord, you're going to believe in the devil. You're going to have to make a choice, because you're going to believe in one or the other. There is no in between. There is no place where there is no decision. You're either going to believe God or you're going to believe the devil. And so that becomes sin, because you do not, or they do not, believe in the Lord. And then he talks about of righteousness, because he goes to the Father and you see him no more. Now you're going to see him no more, but it doesn't mean that the effect of him will not be present. Now all of the things that he said to the disciples are so important, but you've got to understand all of this is like Greek. It's like a foreign language. It's like an incomprehensible reality, because they don't know, again, the hidden meanings of the words that he has spoken. He has spoken in allegories. He has spoken in dark sayings. He has spoken in mysteries. And the only one who can unfold these things is the Holy Ghost. Now listen at this. The Holy Ghost decodes what Jesus says, because this coded language is for a special people. And in order for you to be able to fully comprehend and understand the message of Christ and or the meaning of God's mysteries is if the Holy Ghost unfolds them, discloses them, and transmits them to you. And listen at this, you can never get to the deeper levels, nor can you move into the deeper things of God unless the Holy Ghost literally ushers you into that knowledge. That's why you can be in church 40 years and be no stronger and be no better and be no more deeper or more cultivated in the things of Christ just because you've been coming to serve. You can come to three services 40 years and still be not a whole lot better other than natural knowledge. Meaning you can quote some scripture, but you can't interpret them. Meaning that you understand what you hear in the natural and you apply them in the natural, but you can't apply them to the spiritual things underneath the skin and have victory in every area of your life like the Lord wants you to. Because the Holy Ghost's job is to make it plain and applicable to every situation that confronts you. You see, something is wrong with the belief. Nah, that ain't to say we aren't to go through some troubles and trials. Matter of fact, the deeper you go, the more you're going to go through. But notice I said go through. I didn't say get stuck in. And see, some of us don't understand that the deeper we go, the more we grow. And the more God deals with us and God reveals to us and God ministers to us and God elevates us. But that happens on a spiritual level. That don't happen in the natural. It doesn't happen in the natural. And that's why some saints can't understand what God truly has for them. Listen at this. I want you to see the word. It says, verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Talking about Satan. Verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. When was now? When was he speaking about? He was speaking about before the coming of the Holy Ghost. Before the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in the believer's heart and lives. He was saying, there are so many things I just want to share with you. I want to tell you, but if I told it to you, I'd just be wasting my breath. Have you ever had some things you wanted to really share, but the time just wasn't right? And you knew if you had shared it that whoever you were sharing it with really wouldn't understand it. So you had to hold it in for a little while till it got right. Well, that's all Jesus was saying. He said, listen, man, if you just really knew what was going on, if you just really knew what was ahead, if you just really knew what I wanted to deliver to you, if you just really knew who you were in me and what I have for you, I mean, but you know, I can't tell you now because you can't handle it. All right. Listen at this. Verse 13 says, howbeit when he, and he's again throwing into and infusing into the mind of the believer the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, listen at it, is come. He will guide you into what? Now let me stay here for just a moment. All truth, all truth, all truth. The Holy Ghost resides only in all truth, not partial truths, not piece of truths, not half truths, but all truth. Now, notice what Jesus did not say. He didn't say all truth in the word only. Now, I'm going to make a point here if you listen to me. The Holy Ghost's job is to deal with all truth. Truth in every arena, not just the sacred religion, not just the sacred arena, but in every area where truth resides, the Holy Ghost will take part in all truth. That's why when you're saying something to someone else or whatever the case is, the Holy Ghost, when you speak truth, will make that truth a reality or bring conviction. It don't have to be, you ain't got to be quoting scripture for the Holy Ghost to bear witness to truth. He takes his part in all truth. So when he does that, you also got to understand that he also interprets all truth. And that's why when somebody is lying to you, the Holy Ghost is saying, hold up here, that ain't all truth.
so that you do not believe every lie, because the Holy Ghost again deals with all truth. And that's why he would not allow you to be gullible and foolish and allow you, when he's guiding you, to just accept any and everything somebody said. Matter of fact, the Bereans checked the word out daily to see whether those things that they were saying were so, because the Holy Ghost deals with us on every front. There are some business deals that we've got messed up in because we didn't bring the Holy Ghost to bring out all truth in some things. Now, don't you think folk gonna tell and just throw everything before you at one time? Some things they feel you can't handle, and sometimes they figure they've got to augment the truth. They've got to remanufacture the truth. They've got to, they got to twist the truth a little bit. Might have to water the truth down a little bit because it's too strong for you. But the Holy Ghost knows that you can better handle the truth than you can a lie. The truth might hurt you once, but a lie keeps on hurting you. Can I get a piece of witness in the house? So if the truth is this, then go on and hit me with the truth. Let me hurt once, but a lie, you got to keep on lying and lying and lying and lying. Anybody ever been there? Either lying or being lied to? Come on, raise your hand. Don't act like you've been holy all your days. But the Holy Ghost's job deals with all truth. Listen at this. He goes on in the word and says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now notice this now. Because the Holy Ghost is from heaven and his ministry is on earth, notice what he said that the Holy Ghost would do as it relates to informing you. The Bible says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now, the original thought, and not the only thought, is that everything that Jesus and the Father hath for you, he's going to reveal it through the Holy Ghost. Now, you've got to understand, it is by God's divinely written and inspired word does the Holy Ghost move. But what he does is he takes the words from the Holy Writ and he lifts them to that place of life and quickens them and makes that same word that is written come alive when it is your season and when it is a rhema word for you. Now listen to this well. That's not his only job, though. Because what he hears is he hears what God has to say in his word, and he brings up to you. That's why when you're going through certain things, the Holy Ghost will come and speak to your spirit. But what he speaks to your spirit is already recorded in the word. He'll bring that back to you because he's bringing back to you not his own words, but the words of Jesus Christ, the words of God the Father. And so his job is to bring back to your remembrance everything that the Lord has said. He brings back to your remembrance the realities. How many times have you read stuff in the words and just read through it and it didn't affect you, but then you pick up the word in a season that you have a need for a word from the Lord, and you read this all over again and see some stuff you saw before but never understood. It's like it jumps off the pages of Holy Writ and it's like, whoa, and it's been there all the time. But the Holy Ghost heard it from Jesus saying, plant this in my son's ear. Plant this in my daughter's ear, God says to the Holy Ghost. And Jesus says to my brother and my sister. And the Holy Ghost does that. And in that season, in that time, in that hour, he gives you a relevant word that blesses your heart. But not only that, he is used to speak of some other things. In the Old Testament, when there were wars, the Holy Ghost would go in the enemy's camp, in the enemy's bedroom, in the enemy's private strategic chambers, and then hear what they had to say and then go back and tell the man of God. And the man of God would tell, y'all not hearing me here. I'm trying to tell you, he tells all that he hears. Now, he's not just talking about, again, originally it's from the word, but it's not the only reality in which he operates. That's why your enemy can't sneak up on you. Because while he's plotting and planning, the Holy Ghost is listening. And when he sets what he thinks you up, the Holy Ghost tells you how to go around it and how to maneuver through it. And even if he lets you go through it, he lets you go through it with the knowledge that you're going to come out of it and you have the joy while you're going right through your valley. Because they don't understand that you already know what's going on even before it happens, and it's just confirmation that God's got this thing fixed.